Dear brothers and sisters, in Surah Al-An'am, verses 162 and 163, God tells Prophet Muhammad to tell us, says, "Say, truly my prayer and my service of sacrifice, my life and my death are all for Allah, the cherisher of the worlds. No partner hath he. This am commanded, and am the first of those who bow to this will." This ayah epitomizes the meaning of ikhlas. It's very difficult to translate the word ikhlas into English, but it means literally sincerity. But it also includes selflessness, and it includes the intention behind action. So what this ayah tells us is that the incentive for all work should only be the compliance with Allah's orders and His pleasure, for no worldly gains, nor for hypocrisy, ostentation, publicity, or demand of any gain. Scholars have tried to define al-ikhlas, and what they came with is 5 points. So they indicated that ikhlas includes to aim for Allah's pleasure in all that is said, done, in your work, in your life, even in death. They also indicated that ikhlas means to single out God in all actions. So single out God in all your actions. And to forget about seeing the created, that is seeing people or seeing creations. And you should look beyond that and see the Creator. They also indicated that it means not to require any witness to actions but God. So any actions, you should be watching God. You should know that God is watching you. Don't worry about who else is watching your actions. They furthermore indicated that it is a function of the heart, and that no deed will be accepted by God without the proper ikhlas. So our motivation for any action should be God's pleasure. Whether these actions are ibadat, actions of worship, such as prayer, fasting, doing hajj, etc. Ta'at, obediences, where we do what God has asked us to do, always bearing in mind, keeping it quite clear in our minds, why are we doing it? Or even in normal daily chores, in your normal activities, going to work, dealing with people. If you have ikhlas in doing these deeds, they can become hasanat. And we will come to that again in a minute. So, what is the value of ikhlas? Why is it so important? In Surah Al-Bayyinah, verse 5, God says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. And they are ordained not else than to serve Allah, keeping religion pure for Him, as man by nature upright, and to establish worship, and to pay the poor dues. And that is true religion. So, in this ayah it is made quite clear that true religion is based on ikhlas, is based on sincerity in whatever deed you are doing. Furthermore, in the Quran it says, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Say, I have been ordained to worship God, keeping it pure for Him. So God is making it quite clear Worship is not about rituals. It's not about movements. It's not about prayer. It's not about standing and sitting and bowing. It is about pure intention. It is about keeping it quite clear in your mind and in your heart, what are you doing it for? You must always keep it clear, whatever action you're doing, what are your actions for? If your actions are for the sake of God, for the pleasure of God, then you have ikhlas. If it is otherwise, then you need to rethink. Now, if we have ikhlas in our life, it can save us from evil. And that's very important, especially for the young men and women here. And if we remember the story of Sayyidina Yusuf, when the lady who was staying in her house tried to have a go at him, and in the Quran, it describes this in a very nice, eloquent way, where it says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرُفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءُ وَالْفَحْشَاءُ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. And with passion did she desire him, and he would have desired her, but that he saw the evidence of his Lord, thus that we may turn away from him all evil and shameful deeds. For he was one of our sincere, purified servants. So, if we stick to sincerity in our actions, it can be a very important way to protect us from falling into evil deeds. Whether it's sexual deeds, money dealings, etc. It is a protector. Furthermore, ikhlas can be a protector from Satan, Shaitan. We need to remember that Satan said, as described in the Quran, he said, رَبِّ فَانْظُرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. This dialogue that occurred between Satan and God, where the devil indicated that he will try to misguide all people. He further even indicated that he will succeed in misguiding most people, except those who have got sincerity in their hearts, those who are watchful of God. So again, if you stick to your sincerity, if you always look into your heart and remember what your deeds are for, and you practice ikhlas, it will protect you from the Satan, from Satan and from his ill doings. Also, if you don't follow ikhlas, you could easily fall into the trap of hypocrisy. And we need to remember how serious this is, where God explains to us in the Quran, says, إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار ولن تجد لهم نصيرا. The hypocrites are going to be in the lowest level of hellfire, and they will not find anybody to help them out. إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا بالله وأخلصوا دينهم لله فأولئك من المؤمنين. However, there are exceptions for that. We can all fall into hypocrisy. We are all weak. We all fall into that. However, God shows us in the Quran the way out. What do we do? It says that the hypocrites are going to be in the lowest level of hellfire, except those who follow Allah's way. Those who repent, do good, and more important, وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ, have become sincere in the religion for the sake of Allah. Now, we all recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, which is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Now, the scholars have indicated that this surah probably is worth one third of the Quran. That is because if you fulfill what is required in this surah, you have fulfilled the ikhlas. So, again, another emphasis on how valuable this is. Now, in the hadith, a man asked Prophet Muhammad, he said, if a man went to jihad for war, for reward and reputation, what is the situation? And the Prophet said, there is nothing in it for him. So he repeated again. He said, a man goes to war. He's putting his life on the line. But he is also seeking reward and reputation. And the Prophet said, there is nothing in it for him. The man asked again, but this man, surely there must be something. He's putting his life on the line. It's true that he's doing it for the reward and the reputation. And the Prophet again said, there is nothing in it for him. God only accepts deeds that are pure for him, that's for God's sake, and intended for his pleasure. So any deeds that are not purely for God's sake and are not intended for his pleasure are not going to be accepted by God. Even if these deeds include going to war for the sake of God, even if these deeds include dying in war, as long as you, if you go to war just because you want to be described as being a brave man, or because you want people to say about you that you've been brave, there's nothing in it. There's no reward in it. The reward only comes if there is ikhlas, if it is purely for the intention of pleasing God, for the pleasure of God. However, God in his generosity has given us a bit more. Where in the hadith, it explains to us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ فَإِنْ هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بَحَسَنَةٍ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كُتِبَتْ لَهُ حَسَنَةٍ فَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ 10 حَسَنَاتٍ إِلَى 700 ضعف إِلَى أَضَاعَفٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. God here explains to us in the hadith, the hadith explains to us that if somebody intends to do a good deed, but for some reason out of his control he doesn't do it, he is still rewarded for it as a good deed. And if he indeed does the good deed, then it will be written for him as 10 good deeds. However, if somebody intends to do a bad deed but does not do it, it is not written to him as a bad deed. Furthermore, if somebody intends to do a bad deed and then he stops from doing it because he remembers Allah and he remembers that he is not doing the bad deed for the pleasure of Allah, then it will be written to him as a hasana. This is how important it is. This is how important intention is. So if you intend, you know, you think of doing a bad deed, you think that somebody has harmed me, I'll harm him back. But then you remember Allah and you say, you know, for Allah's sake, I'm not going to harm this person. I'm not going to do any bad deed for this person. Then just by doing that, you are taking a hasanah. It's as if you have done a good deed. This is how generous God is with us. So to sum up, ikhlas is very important. It is to single out God in all your actions. And it is to intend God's pleasure in everything in life. And it is to see only God, not the people, in whatever is happening in life. So you need to see through things and to see God as the real initiator and doer. And not to seek witnesses in any actions. It is a function of the heart, and without it, no deeds are accepted. It's a very valuable thing. And if you want to identify sincerity, if you want to know whether any of your actions are really sincere or not, look into it. Ponder. If you find that you're performing obediences to God like worship, and it's coming so easy, and God is making it easy for you, then probably your intention is right. If you find that you're enjoying obediences and good deeds, and it's giving you real pleasure, then you know that you are really sincere in your actions. If you have an inside feeling that all your deeds are purely for God's pleasure, then you do have sincerity, you do have ikhlas. If you're always accusing yourself of being insincere and always worried about your real intention, then you are sincere. Because it is those that who don't worry at all about sincerity, never question themselves, who might not be really sincere. If you seek God's pleasure, regardless of whether it causes pleasure to people or not, then you are sincere. A sincere person doesn't change when others do. So if there are things that are happening, everybody's changing, everybody's worried. We've seen this happening, for example, in our sisters when there were fears for Muslims. Everybody's taking off her hijab. She would not take off her hijab because she knows why she's wearing it. She's wearing it for God's sake, not for the pleasure of people. So intention becomes a center point in one's life. That's how it should be. That's what it's meant to be. And that's the way to success in pleasing God in all our actions. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله الذي يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات ويعلم ما تفعلون ويستجيب الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ويزيدهم من فضله والكافرون لهم عذاب شديد. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين. وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله إمام الأنبياء وسيد المصلحين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين. أما بعد، سهل بن سعد, who is one of the followers, has been asked. He asked, أي شيء أصعب على الناس؟ قال الإخلاص, لأنه ليس لها فيها نصيب. He was asked, what's the hardest thing on the self? What's the hardest thing for a person? And he said, it's sincerity. Because there's nothing in it for the self. It's not egotistic. It's anti-egotistic. It does not supply any ego to the self. And that's why a self does not, a nafs, does not accept ikhlas easily. And that's why it's important to watch for that. Because the nafs, our nafs is always going to try and push us away from that. Because it does not fulfill its ego. And this is why we need to watch for it. Now, how do we achieve ikhlas? How do we achieve sincerity? Okay, we've spoken about it. We've explained how important it is. But we need some practical ways of achieving ikhlas. The most important point here is to remember the hadith, which is one of the basic hadiths in religion, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, "Innama al-a'malu bi-niyyat, wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa." Intention determines the worth of a person's actions, and he will attain what he intended. So the end result of any action is determined by the intention behind this action. So, if you want to achieve ikhlas, you must determine your intention before the action. A small deed can be exaggerated into a huge action in terms of thawab, and vice versa. A large deed can be belittled by intention. You might go to Hajj, spend the money, take the time, take the effort, go all the way, but your intention is not really for God's pleasure. You've just gone there because you want people to say his Hajj. So you've spent the money, you've done the great action, the deed, the time and everything, but you got nothing out of it. On the other hand, you might just remove a bit of dirt that you see on the floor that might harm other people. And your intention in doing that is God's pleasure. And you might get a huge big thawab for that. simply because the intention is there for God's pleasure. So we need to train ourselves. We need to teach ourselves intention. Intentions of matters of worship and obedience. So, for example, going to the mosque, coming to pray on a Friday, you need to examine yourself. Think about it. Why am I going there? Is it just because it's Friday, it's habit? I've been told that you know you need to go there. That's fine, that's good enough. But you can go to the next level. You can train yourself of thinking, what am I going there? I'm going to go to pray because it pleases God. I'm going to go to pray because it will give me a chance to meet my fellow brothers, and I might be able to help any of them if they need some help. I'm going to go to pray because I'm going to set an example for other people. I'm going to go to pray because God has ordered me to pray on a Friday. So you can multiply your intentions. You can do the action and get lots of thawab just by thinking and producing a better intention before you do your action. And even in matters of daily life, intention can change normal actions into worship. So, for example, if you're studying for your exams, well, you're studying for your exams because you want to pass your exams, because you want to become a better human being, you want to have a good career, which is fine. However, you can add an intention to that. You can remember that God has ordered us to seek knowledge. So if while you're seeking your knowledge, you have the intention of following God's order in seeking knowledge, you will get thawab. If you think that, fine, I want to become a good example, I want to be a role model for other Muslims, you will get more thawab. You will have the intention that if I work and I pass, and I can work and I'll have some money, I will help other people with this money. You haven't done anything yet. You haven't moved from your place. You haven't even passed your exams. You are already getting thawab just for the intention of doing this. So you can create good intention and you can multiply your actions, your daily actions, which you will do anyway, just by initiating thawab. And if you don't believe me, listen to this hadith. Prophet said, لَوْ سَأَلَ اللَّهُ الْعَبْدُ الشَّهَادَةَ بِصِدْقٍ لَمَاتَ مُوتَتِ الشَّهَادَاءِ وَلَوْ مَاتَ عَلَى فِرَاشٍ. This hadith says that if a man asks God to die as a martyr, but when he is asking that, he is sincere, and God only knows who is sincere and who is not. He is sincere and he is asking for a martyr's death. He will be rewarded as a martyr even if he dies in his bed. So, it's very clear. Intention will change the outcome. So we need to learn to multiply our intentions. We need to invest more in intentions. It is simple. It's just a question of getting used to it. Create an intention for every action in your life and you will be rewarded for it, inshallah. The other thing that is very important to achieve ikhlas is to avoid hypocrisy. Because hypocrisy is the killer of ikhlas. And there are many types of hypocrisy. There is the overt hypocrisy, where people clearly do things that they don't mean. But there are the hidden types of hypocrisies. So we need to look at that. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so I won't have time to elaborate on that. We might discuss hypocrisy in another khutbah, inshallah. But remember hypocrisy. Remember to avoid hypocrisy. Especially the small hypocrisy, or the one that's not very obvious. In the hadith, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ teaches us, اتَّقِ الشِّرْقَ الْأَصْغَرِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَخْفَى مِنْ جَبِيبِ النَّمْلَةِ عَلَى صَخْرَةِ الصَّمَّاءِ فِي اللَّيْلَةِ الظَّلْمَاءِ. Avoid hidden hypocrisy, for it can be less conspicuous than a black ant on a dark rock in a pitch dark night. So, remember to create intention in your actions. Remember to avoid hypocrisy, especially the hidden type of hypocrisy, because this is what can put you on the right route to achieve ikhlas. And ikhlas is the route to get hasanat. And hasanat are the way to al-jannah, insha'Allah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا، اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا، اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا، وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا، وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا، وألزم قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا، واشرح به صدورنا، ونور به قلوبنا، واطلق به ألسنتنا، واجعلنا نتلوه كما تحب وترضى وكما يرضيك عنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم خلص أعمالنا من الشوائب، اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، فاذكروا الله يذكركم، واستغفروه يغفر لكم، وأقم الصلاة يرحمكم الله.